Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Again, I want to thank the Lord for our choir, our musicians, our volunteers that help do a lot of things within this church. Surprisingly, you know, even though we're not a 5,000 seat church, there's lots to do. Amen. Takes people to do it. I tried to do it all by myself once and didn't work. But no, we thank God for Crossfire Seminary. If you're visiting again today, we're one of many, many remnant churches throughout this country that have started up in the last probably 4 or 5 years. A lot of them are like us too. Most of our staff in here are all people that work during the week. We hold down other jobs and everything, but we felt in our hearts that God has raised Crossfire up for this hour. I believe we are in the last hour of time before Jesus returns, and we want to be ready, and I believe that we want to receive. I wouldn't care if we had 5,000 people here today or 5 people here today. God's not concerned about that. He's concerned about souls, and we believe that God is bringing and directing people within the Crossfire, one of the many churches out there that are staying with the gospel. Yes. We're not moving away from it, no matter what, no how, no way. No peer pressure with this guy. And we're going to stay with the Word of God because this is what is going to take us all the way to heaven. Yes. This roadmap right here. God's holy word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And Holy Spirit, we thank you also for being with us today and moving through us and in us. And Lord, we ask that anointing be upon myself as I go through the scriptures today, as well as upon the people, that they may hear. And Lord, that we may grow, that we may be challenged, that we may be convicted, that we may be encouraged by your word, Father. And we thank you again for this opportunity. This week, Lord, prepare us, Lord, should Jesus tarry, for the next week also, Father, to keep our hearts on fire for you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We should also remember our president in prayer this morning, too, as he's over in Singapore. World events are happening rapidly. Nations are being put in position the way the Lord wants them to be. He's using world leaders to do it. We need to pray for our president and his staff right now this week as they meet with a world leader, and that God will do a supernatural work, however that is going to turn out, but it will bring peace to that region. And our brothers and sisters in Christ that are in North Korea, that are sitting in prison camps right now, that are being tortured, that God would bring deliverance to them, and that God would use Donald Trump to speak into this man's heart just by his presence, because I believe he was ordained to be the president this hour, and that God will protect all of our people and guide them and use them in the hours ahead. Yes. Amen? Yeah. I kind of spoke that as a prayer with my eyes open. That's all right, though. It's all right. Changing and coping with change. I feel with everything that's happening in the world and everything that's happening in your life and my life, we're in a world of constant change. Amen? Things are changing continually. And so I just wanted to touch on that today, hopefully to bring some encouragement, some direction through the Word of God. Malachi 3:6, and Amy kind of alluded to it this morning also, about we serve a God that's never changing. He's always the same. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord and I change not." Even though man is trying to change him into be like us, he's not going to be like us. He is the same God. He's not changing. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." These words shall not pass away. We're living in an hour where man is trying to change the Word of God with different translations out there that are eliminating vitally crucial words that God put in his holy word. We need to be aware of that too and study. You need to go and find out what type of Bible you're reading. Research it. Find out what's in it, what's not in it. Is it a true true Bible? And beware in the hour that we're living. But things are changing rapidly right now. So two men had gone moose hunting up in Canada for a week. Their week of hunting was over, and a pilot had flown in to pick them up as arranged ahead of time. The pilot taxied the plane down the grass landing strip to where the hunters stood with all their equipment and the two moose they had shot. The pilot got out of the plane and looked over the men's equipment and the two moose. He then said, "I'm sorry, men, but we cannot take both moose back with us. There would be too much weight, and the plane will not get off the ground." The two hunters looked at each other for a moment, and then one of them said, "We think it will be all right. Last year we came up here with the same equipment and shot two moose about the same size as these. The pilot who picked us up had a plane about the size of yours, and we got off the ground just fine." The hunter thought for a moment and then said, "Well, if you think it can be done, we'll try it." So they loaded up all the equipment and the two moose, climbed aboard, and the pilot taxied as far back on the grass strip as he could. He headed down the strip as fast as he could and began to pull the plane up. The plane bounced a couple of times and then finally lifted off the ground, flew a short ways, and it crashed. About 15 minutes later, one of the two hunters regained consciousness. Soon the other hunter regained consciousness. They looked around for a moment, and then one of them said to the other, "Where are we?" The other took one more look around and answered, "Oh, about 200 yards farther than last year." Isn't that about the way things seem like they go sometimes in life, huh? Amen. We're only making a little bit of progress from year to year. And even in church, we notice that sometimes, and people probably get impatient and but we're making progress, people. We're going forward. We're moving toward the direction I believe God wants us to go. So today, in an age where everything else seems to be changing so rapidly around us, it is, isn't it? It's almost hourly now rather than daily. It's changing that fast. Look at our weather and everything changing rapidly. How do we deal with changing times in the church and in our lives? And even within the church, we've watched the church change in the last several years rapidly from where it was. And today now we're all kinds of things, the seeker movement, the emergent movement happening within the churches, entertainment replacing the scriptures being softened up so people don't get upset, and all these changes happening in our church. And how do we deal with them? You know, deception is in the church, by the way, and falling away, smooth words are in the church. And we need discipleship today taught in the church. We need continued fellowship within the church. That's why we have a church here, for fellowship, a place for people to come to worship God and to hear the word of God. Amen. And spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're in a changing world, if not in the world, in our own lives and even within the church. There's a gentleman, Stephen Yarnall, MD, fellow of the American College of Cardiology, that wrote On Pleasant Changes and What to Do. When things don't go our way, we typically go through 10 stages, which are a normal part of coping and a healing process. Number one is denial. It can't be. It can't happen to me. It's not true. The first stage of reaction to any sudden, unexpected event tends to be denial. Wouldn't you agree with that? First words out. Denial is normal for a short time. Persistent denial is unhealthy, blocking further growth and healing. There's people, when tragedy hits their home or changes hit their home and they grieve over it, they deny it and they hang on to things way too long. Way too long. That's not good to do. And then there's step two is anger and blame. Whose fault is it? This makes me mad. This isn't fair. Why me? The second stage of reaction looks backward in hopes of finding the cause and someone or something to blame it on. Although nothing can be done at this point to change the past, it's nevertheless a normal response. The anger blame stage is unhealthy also if it persists for an unreasonable amount of time. God has an answer for that in Ephesians 4:6-2. He also says, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." You don't want to sit there and cook and boil all night, do you, when you're angry at your spouse? Amen, Ruth? I'm sorry, Ruth. I didn't mean it. And then there's the stage of despair. This stage tends to be characterized by tears, negative and hopeless, helpless thoughts, and a feeling of total emptiness and loss. Sleep and eating disturbances are common as reality of the situation sets in. Relationships with other people can become more difficult at this time, but understanding and compassion must be given and accepted if one is to move beyond this stage. We need to be aware of people even in our own midst when they're going through changes in their life, in their family, or whatever's happening in their life. And we need to come along them and encourage them. Amen? We don't need to, you know, what's really sad is when I know of people who have gone into serious things in their life and changes, and they leave the body of Christ. That's so sad when that happens. They leave the very place where their healing and their help can come along if the church is doing what we need to do, not condemning, judging, or whatever, but that we come alongside them and encourage them and help them through that time of change till they get through. And that's what we need to do. Then we have despair. This stage tends to be, the next one, number four, perspective. In this stage, the individual begins accepting the change and is no longer caught up in denial, anger, blame, or despair. The problem is seen in its proper perspective. Although the sense of loss may be significant, the individual does not feel that all is lost. They're starting to recoup. Relationships, coming out of the withdrawal and isolation that is inherent in the previous stages, the individual is able to talk and relate to other people and participate in normal activities as they're moving through this process. Spiritual changes, the individual's relationship with the spiritual side of life is strengthened as a result of having lived through and survived the experience. And that all comes about by trusting in God. Amen. We're trusting in the Lord. And then number seven, acceptance. This stage involves the restoration of self-esteem and the acceptance of consequences and boundaries of the new reality. And number eight, humor, smiles, laughter, and a sense of humor to return to the individual and help in the healing process. And there's a renewed sense of joy in life. Amen. There's a renewed sense of joy. Don't ever, if you're in here and you're a lighthearted person and you like to smile, you like to laugh and things, don't let anybody steal that away from you. We need more of that in the body of Christ today. You know what we need? We need a Nehemiah 8:10 church. That's what we need. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We need joy within the body of Christ in the world in which we live today. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Number nine, activity and action. Where once the individual had been restricted and immobilized by the change, he or she now returns to activity, action, improved productivity. Travel and group activities become more interesting. Lastly, number 10, new goals. In this final stage, the individual is able to focus on the positive aspects of whatever change occurred and on new goals and activities. There's a process that we go through when changes are made and trials come into our life. He or she takes comfort in the author Ashley Brilliant's line, "I may not be totally perfect, but parts of me are excellent." So when faced with an unexpected, unpleasant change, you may not go through all 10 of these stages, or maybe not even in all that in that order, but you will go through some. Change is a constant in this world that we live in, isn't it? It's constant. We fall in love, we get married, children are born, we grow older, our children go up and they move away. You just told me that this morning. Shame on your sons. I'm just kidding, naturally. Did you record that? Thank you. But, you know, seriously, people we know and love die. We've all experienced it, I'm sure, without a doubt. We switch jobs and careers. We go through financial problems in life also. Our finances change. And even though changes come into every life, we're often uncomfortable with change. Change creates anxiety because the physical, social, emotional, spiritual environment with which we have become familiar and comfortable, it's altered in our life. How many here have ever seen a golf ball? Or even held one in your hand? I'm going to guess that probably just about all of you have held one and looked at one. Well, did you know that when they were first manufactured, golf balls they made were smooth? They were perfectly made smooth. But later on, it was discovered that after a ball had been roughed up, they could get a lot more distance out of it. Some of you didn't know that, right? So they started making them with the dimpled covers. See, life can be like that. Everything can go along smoothly in your life, and then all of a sudden you start to get roughed up. Life has a tendency to come at you, and harsh things are coming at you. But those things are the very things. It isn't the smooth things that make you strong in this world and tough. It's the trials and the changes, severe changes in our lives are the things that are working on us to make us to grow in the things of the Lord, and our faith deepen and us become stronger people. Some changes such as pregnancy and even retirement sometimes are happy and welcome events, but every change can cause stress. You realize that? Every change can cause stress. This is because all changes involve some sort of loss within our life. For example, even if someone is moving to a new neighborhood where life will be more pleasant, the old way of life is being lost. The one that you'd become accustomed to is gone now in your new neighborhood. There's an instinctive desire to cling to the old even when adjusting to the new. Embracing change is the sign of a healthy, well-adjusted person. However, even healthy, well-adjusted people may need help and guidance to cope with change sometimes. Here are some guidelines for us to follow when faced with the challenge of change. Because sometimes change and high stress in our life can even cause illness within our bodies. They are so stressful. And I pulled these from a place that it actually numbers them on the level of stress from 1 to 100. I'm going to start out with number 100 and just go through a few of them. Is that okay? Number one, death of a spouse. Death of a spouse. Number two would be divorce. No, a death of a spouse is number 100, by the way. Divorce is 73. Marital separation, 65. Jail term, 63. Death of a family member, 63. Personal injury or illness, 53. Marriage, 50. Fired from work, 47. Marital reconciliation, 45. Retirement, 45. Family members' health, 44. Pregnancy, 40. Sex difficulties, 39. Addition to family, 39. Business readjustment, 39. Change in financial status, 38. Death of a close friend, 37. Event value, career change, 36. Change in marital arguments, a number of them. 36. Mortgage or loan over $10,000, 31. Foreclosure of mortgage or loan, 30. Change in work responsibility, 29. Child leaving home, 26. Starting or finishing school, 26. Change in living conditions, 25. Trouble with the boss, 23. Change in work hours and conditions, 15. Changing in eating habits, 15. Vacation, 13. Christmas season, 12. Minor violations of the law, 12. I'm going to stop there. There's so much more to life, but it all causes amount of stress within our life. And if we're not careful, it can even impact our health. All these changes and more can cause stress to where they create illness in our very being. And then we also want to recognize the warning of the signs of depression. Not every change brings about depression, by the way. However, if more than 12 events happen during a year, changes in your life, they can possibly create deep depression within a person. Recognizing these warnings of depression can help you and I to minister more effectively to people. What Amy mentioned this morning, the two people who had taken their lives, well-known people, everything going for them in this world, but there's things in their life they couldn't cope with, and they were depressed to the point where they were hopeless and had taken their life. And that's sad. So I believe as Christians, we should be aware also of the enemy that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and to bring these sins into our life and to just try to disrupt our lives, what God wants us to have. So here's some warning signs. Take these seriously, because some of you sitting in here, I may be speaking to somebody that's in depression right now within this room. Sleeping more or less than normal. Eating more or less than usual. Feeling restless, agitated, or easily angered. Having trouble concentrating and making decisions. Easily hurt feelings, excessive crying. Abusing alcohol and drugs. Losing interest in activities that used to bring pleasure. Self-neglect. Feeling helpless and hopeless, withdrawing and isolating oneself from others. Those are all signs of depression in a person many times. We must always remember also, people, that God is working. God is working. Even when our lives seem out of control, God is working because he has a plan for our lives. Job 5:9 says, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. That's what God is doing even in the midst of our turmoil, even in the midst of depression, even in the midst of changes of our life. Our God is at work, and we need to be aware of that when we are in the depth of those times in order to continue moving forward. We need to always be mindful of God's varied and unusual ways of aiding us and working on our behalf. Because, see, what you think is impossible, what you think can't be fixed, or what you think will never end, God sees the answer, knows the answer, and has the answer. Never, never forget that. Here's a story that I think is very fitting for what I just said. This is the story of the sole survivor of a shipwreck, just a short one. Shipwreck teaches a useful spiritual lesson here. In the 17th century, a sailing vessel crossing the Pacific was battered and broken by a fierce typhoon. The one and only survivor managed to land upon a small uninhabited island. He was able to do this by desperately clinging to a wooden beam from his ship. After much trouble and considerable effort, he built a crude hut where he placed all the belongings that had washed ashore from the sinking ship. Each day he prayed to God for deliverance and continually scanned the ocean horizon to hail any ships that might pass by. One day, upon returning from search for food, he was horrified to find his hut in flames. Everything he had gone up in flames. Feeling that things could get no worse. Anybody feel like that? The man looked toward heaven, and he cursed God. About 3 hours later, however, a ship arrived, and the captain said, "We saw your smoke signal." Good. When you feel you lost everything, God is at work. He sees things that you can't see, and he's working them out perfectly to give to you at the right moment of time when you thought all hope was gone. I believe the greater the trial, the greater the miracle. Because we have such an awesome God. That's why I keep saying, you know why I'm excited? Because we serve that type of a God, a living God. God helps and guides us in unusual and unexpected ways. When it seems like your life is falling apart, be assured that God is working in your life some way, somehow you don't understand, but He, I promise you, is doing something in your life. Don't ever get the devil. Don't allow him to steal that thought, to take that away from you, to rob it from you and try to destroy you. You hang on to what the Word of God says. Because that's exactly like this man here. What he saw was a terrible, horrible thing was his deliverance. God had to work something out in that man. I bet he had a whole different attitude, didn't he, after that? Don't fail to recognize God's activity because of rigid expectations and resistance to change. The Apostle Peter encouraged us in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I keep using that one in this church because we got to keep reminding ourselves to do it. Don't we? That is the written word of God that moves and changes with our lives as we need it. I want to encourage you to embrace God's grace and his mercy by casting all your care upon him. And we need to help respond to life's trials through helping people gaining that understand and that faith in a never failing God. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20. I'm going to give you some scripture verses here, a few of them, so bear with me. This is the most important part of the message anyway, right here, is the Word of God. Amen. This is it right here. Proverbs 4, chapter 20, verses 20 to 22. My son, attend to my ears. It's words, isn't it? I was checking on you. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That means the seat of the intellect and the emotion. That's what it's talking about, the heart here. Verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. What an important word of God that you and I need to quote in our life. Whatever you're in right now, if you're going through struggle, you need to read that, take it, and say, Lord, I receive that by faith into my being right now, and I meditate upon that part of your word right now, believing. You need that healing in your body. We prayed for you this morning, and the enemy is already coming along and says, I've been prayed for before. Nothing's happened. Don't believe a liar. Stand on the word of God. Encourage people to turn to God who loves and cares for them. In times of despair, ask God to give hope. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, to whom God would make known that is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's one of the benefits of being a born-again, blood-bought, Holy Ghost, pew-jumping, devil-chasing Christian, is to have the hope of glory living within you. The hope of glory. Those people that taken their lives didn't have the hope of glory within their being. But he's there. In times of darkness, God, ask God to pierce that darkness with light. When there seems like there's a dark cloud over your life and it seems like you can't get victory. John chapter 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You need to quote that when you feel the darkness of life surrounding you. You need to speak the word of God. You need to speak it out loud. If you're in your car, in your home, wherever, if you're walking, you need to speak that. If you're in darkness, speak the light to your darkness. Amen. It's real, people. This is a living word, and it works. In times of weakness and fear, ask God for enough courage to take the next step. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That was Paul speaking there. And then in, I believe it is 2 Timothy, I don't know if I got that down right here. I apologize. Doesn't seem right to me here. For God hath, anyway, the scripture is, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Yes. power. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Dumanous power is in us. No excuses. When somebody tells me they can't live for the Lord, they're too weak. I say, you're lying. You're speaking the devil's lie. God says he's given us power. Power. Wonder-working power and love in a sound mind. In times of confusion, ask God for clarity of mind. Ask him for it. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace as in all churches of the saints. If there's confusion in your home, in your life, in yourself, that isn't God. That is not God. God told us right there. That's his word. I believe his word. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. In times of pain and torment, ask God for peace. It says in Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. We can go right to him, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, our Prince of Peace. We can have chains or change. We can have either one. But we can be positive during those times too. Rather than be intimidated by change, we can choose to adapt and accept change. Listen to this short story here. In Thailand, when an elephant is captured, an iron band connected to a heavy chain is placed around the elephant's foot. The other end of the chain is secured to a large tree. At first, the elephant lifts its leg and pulls, trying with all his strength to break the chain or uproot the tree, but nothing happens. An elephant will try this day after day until it finally gives up. After this, whenever the powerful animal lifts its leg and feels even a slight tension, it drops its foot back to the ground in complete submission. It's then easy to control the giant animal. The elephant is taken out to work and is chained only to a small stake. With minimal effort, the elephant could easily pull out the stake and run free. But the elephant is trapped because it believes it can never break free. The creature is imprisoned simply because it perceives freedom to be impossible. And that's what happens with many times within our lives too. We live under the pain and the suffering and the trials and whatever's going on in our life, and we think it's never going to end. We become imprisoned to it, and we become negative, and we don't look away. We don't look for God in the midst of our lives, and we don't look for him for our help. We play God in our own lives, and we're terrible at playing God. We're not little small g gods either, people. We're terrible at playing God. Let God be God. When there's something in your life, my life, then we have totally, absolutely no control, I just say, Lord, I give it to you. I cast all my care upon you because you are God, the God of the impossible. We can't allow ourselves to be paralyzed by change or trials in life. We can choose to conquer events rather than be conquered by them. If you're here today and are in the midst of change or trials of life, let me encourage you with God's word again. I want to give you some more of God's word. Is that okay? Amen. I'm going to do it anyway. It's just I just wanted to be a little bit polite there. When feeling weak again, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. That's in Psalms 91, verses 2 through 4. Psalms 94, verses 18 through 19, when feeling insecure. When I said my foot slips, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. When feeling vulnerable, Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Did you hear that? He knoweth them that trust him. What pleases the heart of God? Faith. Scripture says that. God says faith pleases his heart. When need of in need of courage, Isaiah 57. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. And then when anxious, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 1. When feeling frightened, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Psalms 46, 1 and 2. When in need of assurance, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future, Jeremiah 29, 11. To increase self-confidence and faith, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Philippians 4, 13. To recall God's great love, Isaiah 54, 10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, and that's happening in our world today, by the way. I'm not going to Hawaii on vacation, by the way. Yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. That's from the God we serve. Yes. Isn't that exciting? Amen. I need to see more smiles because we're serving this God who tells me right here, he's got compassion on us. Isaiah 54:10. I'm almost done here. To be reminded of God's faithfulness in all of life's journey in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. When my wife and I pray each night, I pray specifically that one. Because every morning I wake up, there's brand new mercies waiting for me to take me through whatever I'm walking through in my life that day. Brand new. And I remind myself, I don't have to remind God because he told me right here, my mercies are new every morning. Every morning he's got them ready for us. Matthew 6:34, to remember to live one day at a time, trusting God for future needs. It says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Whatever you're facing tomorrow, don't worry about it today. Forget about it. You can't do anything about it anyway. When tomorrow comes, then you say, God, direct and guide me in my life right now. I need your help. For your mercies are new every morning. For quiet and trust and confidence in God, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Edmund Walker said, stronger by weakness, wiser men become as they draw near to their eternal home. God's word says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. So let's all stand, please. Let us embrace change in our lives and rely on God to do his good and perfect will in our lives. Because people, we're all going to continue, should Jesus tarry, we're going to experience changes in our life. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forevermore. He's the same one that hung on the cross. He's actually the same one who created this world. And he hasn't changed one iota. Don't let man change who Jesus is in your life. Stick to the word of God. Don't depend upon the preacher, the missionary. Depend upon the word of God. Read it yourself. More of God's people have got to begin to read the word of God to be steadfast in the hour that we live. With every head bowed and eye closed, out of reverence to our Lord. And is there anyone in here this morning that walked in here and said, Pastor, I'm not sure if I die, if I would even go to heaven. And I would like to know this God you're talking about that has mercies brand new. And you're in here this morning and you've never done that. And you say, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Jesus said in his word, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death. That's why he came and died on Calvary's cross. He took upon himself sin. He didn't become sin. He took it upon himself and paid the price so that you and I wouldn't. But it's a gift, and you cannot just automatically think the gift is thrown on you. Jesus is asking you to come to him and receive that gift. Is there anybody this morning with an uplifted hand said, Pastor, I want to receive that beautiful gift of eternal salvation? Is there anybody? I don't want to miss anybody. Again, I don't care if everybody in here say I'm already a Christian or I'm born again. I'm still going to ask anyway, because even Christians are prone to wander. Is there anybody in here say I'd like to recommit my life to this wonderful Lord? Anybody? Is there, with an uplifted hand, with mine already up, saying I've been fearful in my life and I've been doubtful when I've had changes in my life if God cared. Is there anybody that has experienced that? God sees those hands going up. Lord, you see the hands of your people, Father, that when we walk through these changes of life, they can be frightening, they can be disturbing, and they can be difficult and hard. But Lord, in the midst of them, you told us to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, I pray for each person that had their hand up this morning. Lord, I would encourage them not to look at each other's, not even to look at their spouse if they're married, or their children, or anyone else, but to look to Jesus, the author and finisher, the God who never changes. He's steadfast. He's always the same. You can depend upon him. Lord, I pray you put that in the hearts of your people this morning. Lord, that leaving here, we can walk out with excitement in our spirit, knowing that we serve a living God, and soon he's returning to take us home. But until then, we can look to him. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for the Holy Spirit right now, Lord, touching hearts and even convicting hearts of those that said, I've given in to the fear, I've given in to the frustration, I've given in, and I've even allowed sin into my life and replaced my fear and my frustration and my discouragement and my depression with sinful habits and things. Lord, I pray that you help that person to repent and turn back to the living God and receive his mercy, your mercies, and to operate in those mercies, because in your mercy will be joy. In your mercy, there will be peace. In your mercy, there will be comfort. In your mercy, there will be deliverance. In your mercy, there will be help. And Lord, I pray that upon your people right now by faith. And now, Lord, I pray that as they go today, Lord, that you will touch each home that's represented here. Let your Holy Spirit continue to move in their hearts this week. Use each one for your glory to spread the good news that we serve a living God. And Lord, help us to live out that life according to your word, Father. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.